and good day. Hey, welcome to the Super Good Camping Podcast. My name is Pamela.
I'm Tim.
And we are from supergoodcamping.com. We are here because we're on a mission to inspire other families to enjoy camping adventures such as we have with our kids. Today, we have a repeat guest. She is an outdoor adventurer that chronicles said adventures via blogging, photography, freelance writing, and videos. She's a real knack for taking great tourism and travel style pictures, as evidenced by the fact that she has been hired by organizations such as Ontario Parks and Northeastern Ontario Tourism to take pictures for them. She has written articles, blog posts, and taken pictures for many travel and tourism organizations, including Ontario Parks and Explore Magazine. She is also currently on the board of directors of the Discovery Routes Trails organization. Most importantly, she loves to be outside as often as she can be. Please welcome back Josie Dinsmore. Hey, hi, Josie.
Hi, everyone. Hi.
Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for coming and having another yak with us.
Thanks for having me back.
You bet.
I guess it wasn't a terrible experience the first time.
No.
So last time I got sidetracked with a few things, including the bike camping stuff, because that's cool. It's something I haven't done. I thought it was pretty amazing. Today, ideally, because you are such an amazing photographer, I'd love to talk about nothing but photography. You know, let's start with how did you get into it? What's your origin story in photography?
It's, I guess, very long ago, when I was a kid, basically. My parents got me and my brother cameras at a young age, so we could go and take our own pictures. And maybe I was around 7 or 8-ish at the time, maybe a little older. And so just started taking pictures, and it kind of developed. There's a photography joke there. It developed from there. I remember one of the first real times I remember taking photos was actually during a school trip. We went to the Bruce Trail and we hiked a section, and I remember taking pictures of my friends, along the trail or the school bus, just kind of random things. Yeah, so it kind of just continued from there when I was younger, when I was a kid and into early teens. Because my family did a lot of traveling, and as we talked about last time, spent a lot of time outdoors, naturally the camera would come along with me. It was, just part of the package. And so, I'd be taking pictures of kind of documenting everything I'd see along the way. And then in my teens, I got that was film cameras when we were still in film. So, you couldn't take too many pictures because, it's expensive to develop. And then when I got
them back too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when I got into my teens, I got my first digital camera. And so that was the next kind of big step. As soon as you have a digital camera, you can take as many pictures as you want and you can really start to experiment more and start to learn. I had a little point and shoot. I used that camera so much, I wore it right out, had to buy a new one. And then, from there, Facebook came along and I started posting photos, I went to this place. That's when I started to get people commenting like, I really like your pictures. And, where did you take this? And I thought, that's kind of cool. Like, people actually like the pictures I'm taking, because before, like, the only people who saw my pictures were like my family members. There was nowhere to publicly, post photos. So then that might have encouraged me to try a little bit more to take better pictures and to get out more. And then I got a DSLR. And of course, as soon as you get one of those, that's a whole nother step. Yeah. And then a few years after that, I decided to start a public Facebook page to see what, not just my friends and family, what the public would think of my photography. And so I did that and got on social media, started to get different opportunities come out of it. And so it was just kind of a long, slow progression. It's been fun.
Did you ever do any formal training as far as photography?
No, I'm completely self-taught, just, experimenting with the camera, reading books, watching videos online, still learning every day. Every time you take out your camera, you're like, maybe if I do this, that'll work a little better. And so no, I've never gone to school for it or taken any like proper course. Just kind of winging it as I go along.
That's the best way.
And it seems to be working well. So good on you. You do things like you do your own photography, your own blogs. So stories with pictures. You also do, what's the right term? Commissions. You do things for the local newspaper. You do things for Ontario Parks, other tourism things. How did that come about? And like, how cool is that?
It is very cool, actually. I have a little story I'll tell after about the Ontario Parks thing.
Cool.
But yeah, basically when I went on social media is such a great thing for artists, like, or photographers, or because you can get your work out to such a wide audience. Whereas, you know, years ago, you'd take a picture, you'd print it, you'd hang it in a store somewhere, and how many people are going to see it? So that's the great thing about social media. People started to see my work. One of the very first things that I had, I don't know if this was like within the year after I started the Facebook page, was I had there were a business that would source photos for Northeastern Ontario tourism. And they reached out to me and they said, "Oh, we like your photos. We're interested in purchasing some. And then we're interested in some photos of a local canoe race. Would you be able to go out to that and take some?" So that was pretty cool that they, you know, were interested in that. And I talked to them, we worked together, and then I ended up selling them a collection of photos and attending the canoe race and taking some. So that was probably the first big thing. And then it just grew from there. I had different tourism kind of organizations, agencies contacting me saying, "Oh, we're writing a story about this. Do you have a photo that we could use?" Or they'd see one that I posted online and they'd say, "Can we purchase that for this article?" Yeah, so a lot of stuff like that. And then Ontario Parks, that was kind of cool. I guess it was probably summer 2021, our local Ontario Park, Samuel de Champlain, I kind of knew half the staff in there anyway, so they kind of knew me, but they reached out and they're like, "Would you be interested in doing a little photo shoot around the park so that we have photos that we can use for like our social media?" And I'm like, "Yeah, of course. I do that all the time anyways, so, you know, why not?" So I went out there one day with some of my family members and we kind of like did the stuff we were supposed to do, like, because they're like, "Can we get some fishing photos? Can we get photos at the beach?" And then along the way, we just took random pictures of us walking along doing things. And so that was really cool. And they got the photos. And then I guess it was some other people from Ontario Park saw the photos, like from the head office. And they contacted me that winter and they said, "Hey, we'd like to work with you." And they wanted to purchase a few collections of photos because I had, like, you know, thousands and thousands of Ontario Park photos in my on my external hard drives. And so they purchased some of those. And then they said, "Would you like to go to a park and do a photo shoot for us?" And so they said, "We'll send you to a park. You can camp for a few days. We'll get you to do some activities. And then we'll get a collection of photos from you." So I thought, well, that's really cool. Like, that's, you know, really, like, for me, because I'm really love visiting Ontario parks. I've been doing that since I was a kid. I'm like, that's just perfect. I get to go hang out at a new park for a few days and take photos, which I'm going to do anyways. And so we did that. And we actually went to Bonne Chere Provincial Park. And that's kind of on, I guess that's the east side of Algonquin. And I think so. And I'd never been to that park before. So it was really cool that the park they chose was a new one for me. So I got that experience out of it as well. And just kind of checked out everything that was there and tried some of the, we did some canoeing up the river. We tried a corkle in the lake. I don't know if you guys have heard of one of those, where it's kind of a round, it's like a plastic kayak type thing, but round. So we got to do that. And yeah, I just had a really great time. And it was neat to, you know, get to explore the park, but then I'm also kind of working at the same time. Yeah, so came home from that, got a bunch of pictures ready for them, and they love them. And so, yeah, we're, I think I've been in touch with them lately, so I think we're going to be doing something else soon. So we're kind of in talks, but definitely something I hope that will continue to happen regularly, some working with Ontario Parks.
No kidding. Well, to get, wait, I get paid to camp and take pictures and have fun. Okay, how do I sign up for that?
Yeah. And so the little story I was going to tell, which is kind of important to that, is I don't know if a lot of people probably don't really know this, but like when I was a kid, like my family and I used to visit, you know, Ontario Parks all the time, and we'd camp, and it was like one of my favorite things to do. And back then, you know, we didn't really go on the internet a whole lot. Internet was kind of just starting, but you'd pick up your little travel books and you'd, you know, flip through them and look at the pictures. And I always liked looking at the pictures from the parks, and I'd cut them out and hang them up. And then as I got a little older and I got, taking photos a bit more, I'm like, oh, that'd be really cool if someday some of my photos were in here. Then as the years went on into more recently, I'm like, you know what? I'd really like to have some of my photos in something Ontario Parks, like either in their guidebooks or on their website or something. That would be really neat, especially because, you know, visited so many for years. Yeah. So then last fall, I was on the internet and went on their website to go take a look at campsites. And, you know, as soon as you open up the main page of Ontario Parks, there's like, you know, a banner photo across the top. And then there's the options to click on if you want to reserve or everything. And I'm looking at the picture, you know, right across the top. And I'm like, that picture looks familiar.
Oh, no kidding.
I took a closer look and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's one of my photos. So it was actually a photo I had taken in Brent at Algonquin Park. And it was one of the ones they had purchased from me earlier last year. And I was like, that's really cool. It's kind of like, I don't know, what do you call it? It's full circle or something, like from when I was a kid looking at the little pictures in the guidebook to having one of my pictures on their main page of their website.
So, that's awesome. Now I have to go.
Yeah, it was pretty special.
Not yeah. That I don't spend a ridiculous amount of time on Terra Park's website anyhow, but now I have to go back and actually look at that banner, because I'm always looking at the where's the backcountry one, where's the, and looking at those options. That's amazing. How cool.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, there's bigger places and websites you could have your photos, like National Geographic and things like that, but for me, just seeing it on Ontario Parks, that was a real big deal for me. So that was really cool.
Right on. I'm glad. That's good. See, Ontario Parks is not dummies at all.
No.
They know good when it's out there.
Yeah.
So great. So you do lots of, do you do like nature photography as well? Like I have a couple of friends that are big on, you know, one of my friends is, goes down and shoots a lot of sort of waterfront birds, whether it's, you know, mergansers or herons, that sort of thing, where he occasionally does some macro work on, like, really when he's done shooting them, they're really pretty insects. They're probably not so much but in the macro they're really cool. Do you do anything like that, or is it mostly landscape sort of?
Probably what I do the most is like landscape, kind of that type of nature, but no, I do a little bit of everything. When I get the chance, like, you know, if you see something, you're out and about and you see like a little flower, I'll try and get some really close up shots, or when I get home, crop it on the photo editor and kind of experiment a bit. But yeah, basically anything to do with landscape, nature, that whole category is what I love doing the most. But I kind of play around with a lot of different types of photography as well, although I'm more so known for the landscape photography, I guess.
Will you do portraits and things as well too?
A little bit, mostly family and friends. It's kind of something that Like, you know, kind of just regular family photos or weddings and stuff that kind of doesn't interest me a whole lot. And then sometimes, you know, working with clients like that can be, I've heard some stories that, you know, difficult or, you know, you don't want to screw up somebody's wedding photos. So it's kind of a category I avoid a bit, but I have done it a little.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to get a tree yelling at you for not shooting
no.
it. They wanted to be seen.
Yeah.
Probably a good call.
When you do create other creative things as well, like writing.
Yeah. I've always been into like documenting things. So whether that's photography or writing for the past, I think over 12 years now, I forget now because it's been so long. I've been doing freelance reporting for a local newspaper. And so that's been really interesting. Get to go to some neat events and talk to interesting people and then, of course, take photos along the way. I've done some writing for myself, like on my social media and then my website with my blog. And I've also done blogs or online articles for quite a few different organizations now. Explore Magazine, Northern Ontario Travel, Northeastern Ontario, Tourism North Bay. I did do one for Ontario Parks. So yeah, that's always cool because getting to write, you know, a story about something, or for example, this winter I was working on a story about a list of different bikepacking routes in Northern Ontario. So I kind of had to do a little more research for that one because I wasn't familiar with all the routes. And then it's always great too when I can include my own photos in the stories as well. So yeah, I enjoy it. I'm kind of into the whole writing and photography thing. I really like.
It's a nice package, especially yeah. If you can visually tell the story and then verbally or in words tell the story as well. That's cool.
Yeah.
Right on. So we talked. You talked about your progression as you learned through gear up to a DSLR. What kind of gear do you use now, and how? Like, I speaking for myself, I have different camera packages that I take depending on what it is that, what activity we're getting into. I take a smaller kit when we're front country, and when we're back country, I take a much larger kit in the hopes of shooting a whole bunch of stuff that I'm never going to edit and put out. How does that work for you? Do you change it? Do you take the same gear all the time, depending on regardless of what you're doing, or how does that work for you?
I guess not by choice. I've made it really easy for myself in the fact that I don't really have the budget to go buy a bunch of camera equipment. So I just use the little that I have for all the same stuff. I have my DSLR and I do have a couple lenses, but there's one that I pretty much use all the time because it's not got a nice wide range. It's an 18 millimeter to 200. So that's kind of a nice, you know, you can get the closer stuff farther away. I have a tripod, although I avoid bringing it because I hate using it. Okay. I like to freehand everything, like just hold the camera as steady as I can, because it's, you know, setting up the tripod is so much more, takes so much time, more work, you're carrying it. So I basically, with my photography, I try to do things as easily and as quickly as I can and not like bog myself down with a whole bunch of gear. And then I have, that's pretty much it. Just my camera usually just comes along, and I have like a little remote and things like that. I do bring the tripod if there's something specific I'm taking photos of, like moving water or night sky or the northern lights. I'd actually take a lot of photos with my cell phone now. I never used to years ago, but when you get out and about doing different activities, like for example, some of our long bike rides that we do, I'm not going to bring my big DSLR on my bike, have it shaking around all day. So it's a lot easier to just bring the cell phone. But nowadays, like the quality of the photos that cell phones take, you know, you can take really good photos. So if you don't have your DSLR, then that's the, you know, the best thing is your phone. And then I have GoPros as well. And I've experimented a little bit with the photography on them. That's something I want to do a little bit more, because they can actually do some pretty cool things as well, because they're not just for video. They have all the photo settings too. So yeah, I'm pretty simple. I would really like to upgrade some of my gear. My camera is almost 12 years old now. Yeah. And so I'm kind of looking at some of the new mirrorless cameras look really nice. And then not just, you know, something new, but the technology too has changed so much. So, you know, that always helps. Like, I kind of believe I'm more into the way of thinking that, you know, the best camera is the one that you have kind of deal, you know, just use what you have, do the best you can with it. But definitely, like, you know, if you can upgrade your camera to something better, it is going to help a little bit in some of the, you know, some of the details, like the quality of the photos or how well you can take night shots, how fast it'll take the shots. So yeah, that's maybe in the next year or two, I'll be able to get a new camera. That would be nice.
Well, they're not cheap, that's for sure. But you're right.
No.
Like CMOS chips and all that sort of jazz. That's why phones are as awesome as they are now, because they've made the technology has increased so much. Honestly, other than the fact that, well, there are very few that actually have optical zoom, as opposed to a digital zoom. That's stunning. That blows my mind that they have a lens that moves inside of the body of a phone. The downfall to the other ones is that it's only digital, but they still take, there's so much information there. Like they're fantastic. And they put good lenses in that are itty bitty. Like that blows my skull.
I've had situations too, where actually, like, I've had both items on me, the DSLR and the phone, and the phone has worked out in certain situations better, depending on your lighting or the angle or whatever. Sometimes I'll switch in between both, or I'll take photos of the same thing with both the camera and the phone to see, you know, go home after and take a look and see which one was able to do a better job. I have a photo in one of my calendars for this year of a old fire tower, and the only way I was able to get that shot, I couldn't get it with my DSLR because I couldn't get low enough down to get the wide shot. So I took the phone. I was basically able to almost lay it right down on the ground. And because you can't stick a camera into the ground, but the phone you can set there. So yeah, I do go back and forth between them sometimes. And years ago, I was like dead against using phones for photos. I thought, oh, you're not supposed to do that. You know, use your real camera. But I think now it's a handy tool. Everybody's got one. And there's all the pro settings on them too. So you can, you don't have to just, you know, take the picture. You can kind of play around a little bit and adjust the settings as you would with a camera set to manual. So yeah, it's a good tool to have. So.
Yeah. Well, and it's easy. You just pull it out of your pocket, right? Like you don't, you're not lugging stuff around. You're not having to go through all kinds of, it's already ready to go. Click, boom. Mm. Cool. So you mentioned lighting. I'm curious, do you ever lug any form of lighting with you, or do you just make adjustments in camera for the lighting that exists?
No, my camera actually does have the little like pop-up flash.
Right.
But I never use it except for if it's like, you know, photos, family photos or something like that. No, I just basically try to, like, I use a lot of manual settings mostly, so I'll try to just adjust things the best that I can, and if something's turned out a little bright or a little dark, I'll make those corrections editing it after
in post, like in Photoshop or whatever. Right, cool. Okay, so there was a story because I've seen it before, but I don't know the whole deal. Tell me about, because we like stories, tell me about Canoe Guy.
So it's a long story, but I'll try and keep it as short as I can. So I think it was 2014. I was at Samuel de Champlain Provincial Park, and it was in the fall, And there was a, we're down at the boat launch area and there's a dock and everything. And there was this really kind of cool sunset, kind of like, you didn't see the sun, but you saw like the clouds turning pink and purple. And so I'm down there taking photos. There's really nice reflections on the lake. And then this guy in a bright yellow canoe starts paddling across the lake. And so if you're a person like me, as soon as you see someone in the, in a canoe in the water, you're like, oh gosh, got to get a picture of this. Cause those are always some of the nicest shots. And so he kind of hung around for a bit. He was going back and forth. He was fishing and I got a lot of great shots. I posted them on Facebook. Everybody loved them. I kind of nicknamed them the canoe guy photos because I didn't know who he was, and they ended up with those names. So yeah. And then I guess it was about 4 years later, I was at the park again, and it was Thanksgiving. So it was the day before the park closed. There wasn't a lot of people there. We're down at the beach and just about to leave. And I look across and there's this bright yellow canoe coming across the lake. I'm like, oh, I got to take some pictures. It's going to look nice with the fall leaves behind. And so took a bunch of pictures. And then we were trying to go back up to our vehicle. It was starting to get dark. And I kind of, you know, skimming through on my camera. And I'm like, oh, wait a second, that guy looks familiar. So I brought out my phone, went on Facebook, scrolled through to the canoe guy photos. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the canoe guy. And this is like 4 years later. And so I'm like, I got to find this guy. I have to go hunt this guy down in the campground and show him these photos that I took of him 4 years ago. So luckily, at that time of year, there's very few people in Champlain Park, like just a handful of people camping there on the last night. And so we drove around the campsites and there's this trailer and a truck and this bright yellow canoe. I'm like, oh, great. There he is. And no one was outside. So I knocked on their trailer door and I'm like, I have some photos of you from 4 years ago. And it was an older couple, and I don't know what they thought of me. You know, it's pitch black, and someone's knocking on their trailer door. Yeah, I took pictures of you.
Okay, weirdo.
Yeah, but I couldn't just leave there. I had to say something. So anyways, so we had a nice conversation with them, and I showed them the photos, and I showed them the photos I had taken that day. And I ended up sending them all the photos by email later. And yeah, so that was really cool because normally when you see people out in a canoe or a kayak and you take a cool picture, you never see them again. You have no idea who they are. So that was really neat to actually see the guy again and be able to give him the photos and show him and talk about it. And I've kept in touch with them the last few years. They come every year to camp at the park, and I've gone and visited them. And sometimes I've been in the park. And I've been biking around. I stop by the lake and I'll see a yellow canoe going across the lake. And I'm like, oh, I got to take pictures of the canoe guy. And I think it was last year or the year before, I got a really, really nice sunset photo of him. Nice silhouette. Probably one of my favorite photos I've taken. But yeah, and I always send them the photos at the end of the season. And I call him the canoe guy. Because we keep in touch. And so if I send his wife an email, I'll be like, oh, hi, you know, and the canoe guy. So, yeah, it's kind of neat, too, because of I find with the photography, too, sometimes people will talk to you or they'll ask you questions while you're taking photos somewhere. And you get to meet, you know, some interesting people. I've met quite a few people that way. But yeah, so it was really neat to come across him again, canoeing across the lake, and then to get to know them and give them the photos.
That's so cool. That's a,
yeah.
That's excellent. That's very, very, that 4 years later, that would be just like, what? You know?
Yeah.
How surreal.
That's what I mean. I wasn't leaving that park that night until I tracked him down because I had to go see him.
That's excellent. Yeah. That's a great story. And I mean, what a wonderful thing for, you know, if I was canoe guy, just out fishing and stuff, and then somebody popped by and said, I got these really cool shots of you. It's like, what? Oh, that's awesome. How cool.
Yeah. Right? Actually, I think it was 2 years ago. I went to visit them one night, and he was telling the story about this big catfish that he caught, but he decided to release it. And his wife and his friend were there, and they're like, "Oh yeah, yeah, right." And so I'm like, "Well, you know, I was taking pictures of them this afternoon. I'm going to look through my pictures and see." And sure enough, I don't know how this happened, I had taken a picture right when he had caught that fish. And there's a picture I took. It was kind of blurry because it was so far away. But you see this big thing hanging from the end of his fishing pole. And I'm like, "Oh, look, look." So he did catch it.
Photographic evidence.
So I'm hiding around the lake taking pictures of this guy, but it not purposely. It's just as soon as I see him, I'm like, "Oh, I got to take pictures." So it's kind of turned into a thing, but it's fun. So
that's cool. Need to be able to post a story like that, like bits and pieces over time. I've got a small handful of pictures of other people in canoes, the shots that I'm quite happy with. No idea. None at all. No clue who was in that canoe. It's like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. It's neat. It's neat to, like, that had never happened before, where I'd found someone after and been able to actually give them the photos. Cause if I ever took pictures of someone and I seen them after, I would have no problem sending them the photos, because, you know, people always, you know, love to have stuff like that. So yeah,
it's funny, most of our camping stuff is Pamela or both of the kids. It was probably not a bad thing for the general public, but there's hardly any pictures of me when we're camping, because I'm the photographer, right?
Yeah, I'm lucky that my mom, she takes a lot of photos as well, so there is photos of me too somewhere. So
that's it for us for today. Thank you so much to our special guest, Josie Dinsmore from Adventures with Josie. Please look her up on all the social media and admire her beautiful pictures. We will talk to you again soon. I am Pamela.
I'm still Tim.
And we are from supergoodcamping.com. Please do email us. We are at hi@supergoodcamping.com. That's hi@supergoodcamping.com. And we are on all the social media as well as Super Good Camping. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.
Bye.